Welcome to this episode of the Kind to Your Mind podcast, brought to you by the councils and the NHS in Cheshire and Merseyside, supporting key workers and their families during this difficult time with some practical information and advice relating to stress and anxiety and the pressures that many people are under at this moment in time during the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Ian Brannan, and joining me today is Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, who's regarded as one of the most influential doctors in the UK. He's a TV presenter, hosts his own podcast, Feel Better, Live More, and best-selling author of three books which help people improve their health by making some simple changes. Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, welcome to the Kind to Your Mind podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Ian. Really, really excited to be on.
One of the things that people can do to improve their well-being, I think, is to get out and take advantage of that exercise that we are allowed each day. How important is that really in the whole well-being of people at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, well-being is so important at the moment. And, you know, how important is it to exercise your body each day? Very important. It was important 2 months ago before lockdown. It's even more important now. And I think one thing that often doesn't get appreciated enough is movement, exercise. Yes, it helps your body, your physique, your physical health, but it also has very powerful effects on your mental health as well. We know that stress, anxiety, that energy, that stress, energy and anxiety you can build up in your body, you can burn it off when you move. This is not about calories. I'm saying you can burn off stress energy. Now, you know, within the guidelines, we are allowed to go out to take exercise once a day. And of course, I would encourage people to try and do that whilst following all the guidelines. But for some people, it doesn't need to just be that. I'm a big fan of talking about 5-minute health snacks to make health really simple and achievable for everyone. 5 minutes makes a difference. And so 5 minutes of dancing is going to make a difference. 5 minutes of skipping is going to make a difference. A lot of people like to do interval workouts, right? The simplest interval workout to do is you do some star jumps, which everyone enjoys doing, I think. And you could do them for about 30 seconds or so, and then stop for 30 seconds. Repeat that 5 times. You've just done a 5-minute interval workout. And the point I'm trying to make is that it doesn't need to be complicated. A lot of people may be thinking, oh, the gym's closed now. My yoga class is not running anymore. Okay, fine. That may make it trickier for some people. But we can do so much in our own homes without needing any equipment. So yes, it's critical that we move our bodies every single day.
Are you yourself finding that you're sort of keener to take advantage of the exercise when you get the chance? Because I think we are cooped up a little bit more now. I mean, I'm going for walks around my local area that I've never gone on in my life until now. That, I mean, that's not to say that I didn't go to the gym or anything like that before, but I'm exploring the local area and we're doing things that we never did before in order to sort of get ourselves out there a bit more.
Yeah, Ian, I would share that same experience. And it's kind of weird, isn't it? It's that whole piece of human psychology that when we can't do something, we want to do it more,
yeah.
Right? Because we're not. And I think many people are experiencing that. I have done more local walks and bike rides than I've ever done since I moved into this house 10 years ago. And for me, you know, for all the negatives, and of course, there are plenty of negatives at the moment, stress, anxiety, people dying. I don't want to minimize that. But on the flip side, there have been many positives. And for me, normally once a day, I'm going out with my wife and my kids for either a walk or a bike ride. And we never did this. We certainly did not do it every day. We might have done it, you know, occasionally at the weekends. And we're really experiencing that family bonding and that regular working out, but working out outside. And just to highlight again, why is outside so important? It's great that we're still allowed to go outside because going outside in the daytime helps you sleep at night. It helps us set our body's natural circadian rhythm. Even if you go outside on a cloudy day, Ian, you get 10 times the amount of light as you might get in a brightly lit room. And that is so important for setting your body's circadian rhythm. And this is really important to help you sleep in the evening. So please do get outside every day if you can.
Just getting out in the daylight is a good thing, that's for sure.
It really is.
What would you say that the main indicators are of stress and anxiety at this moment? Because as maybe people listening, this podcast is aimed at key workers, but also their families and the general public at large, really. And there may be people who are working either on the front line in the NHS or any other of the services that are key to keeping our society going at the moment. And maybe they're having a, you know, they're feeling a little bit different. What should they be looking out for as indicators for stress and anxiety?
Yeah. You know, it's a great question. And where it gets tricky to answer is that stress affects every single organ in the body, and it affects different people in different ways. And so, you know, how I might experience stress may be different from how you experience stress, Ian. But what are some of the common things that often result as a consequence of having too much stress or anxiety? Well, insomnia, not being able to fall asleep, waking up at 2 or 3 in the morning and not being able to get back to sleep, very, very common. Fatigue, feeling tightness in your back, neck pain, often back pain can have a huge stress component. Being twitchy, falling out with your partner, with your children, being tetchy, so many different things. You know, feeling down and just sitting there on the sofa, not wanting to do anything. All of these can be a result of having too much stress going on or too much anxiety. But the flip side to that is, although stress rates have gone up and anxiety levels have gone up, there is so much that we can do each day that doesn't cost any money, doesn't require us to buy anything, that doesn't take much time either. And Ian, if you don't mind, I'd just love to provide a useful framework for people, because there's so much great information out there on what you can do for your health at the moment. But actually, sometimes that information overload, it is, frankly, it's paralyzing. It's like, oh my God, my best friend did PE with Joe Wicks today, but I haven't done it. I'm a failure, right? And I think we've got to be really careful that we don't feel bad that we're not doing all these amazing things, like a virtual yoga class or whatever it might be.
Sure.
And so I say to people, keep it simple. Think about health in 5-minute intervals. 5 minutes on your mind, 5 minutes on your body, and 5 minutes on your heart. This is basically the framework I outlined in my last book, Feel Better in 5, that has really proved so successful with people because it's simple and it's achievable. And actually, I gave away 250 of these to key workers precisely to help them look after their health. And why it's so powerful is this. 5 minutes each day in your mind, that's mental health, right? So that could be anything. That could be breathing. That could be journaling, which is one of the most powerful things to do to reduce anxiety. So if you just wake up in the morning, and for 5 minutes, you just write down in a journal how you're feeling. It can be anything, but you are literally taking the anxiety out of your head and putting it literally and metaphorically down and onto paper. It really works. It could be doing something creative like a jigsaw puzzle or playing your guitar or an instrument or singing a song. Anything creative takes you into a different part of your brain. Often you access what's called flow state. And when you're in flow state, you can't feel anxious. So I say choose any one of those that people want, but just do 5 minutes a day on your mental health. Then do 5 minutes a day at least on your body. That's moving your body. It could be dancing. It could be skipping. It could be that simple sweat workout I mentioned at the start of this interview. It could be going for a walk. But if you give yourself the target of 5 minutes, it seems achievable. A lot of people think, oh, if I don't go for a 1-hour jog, what's the point? Well, actually, there's plenty of point of doing these small things regularly. Think about toothbrushing, right? We don't not brush our teeth throughout the week and go, on Sunday, I'm going to give myself a 1-hour deep cleaning toothbrushing session.
Yes, very good point.
Right? We don't, but we think about health like that. And actually, I found with patients for nearly 20 years now that when you make it small and achievable, and it's the little things you do each day that actually make you bulletproof, and they really help building up your stress resilience. So 5 minutes a day on your mind, 5 minutes on your body, and the final piece is 5 minutes a day on your heart. Now, that is so important. What do I mean by heart? I'm talking about human connection, right? It's a really important part of health. And actually, at the moment, that is the thing I'm most concerned about, because humans are social beings. The research is suggesting that loneliness is potentially as harmful as smoking 15 cigarettes a day for our health. Feeling lonely means you're 50% more likely to die early, 30% more likely to have a heart attack or stroke. And we know it doesn't just affect the elderly. We know young men in society between the age of 30 and 45 are some of the loneliest. And I think lockdown is making this worse. So for 5 minutes a day, can you connect with another human being? So that could be a phone call. It could be a Skype or a FaceTime call. It could be something like an act of kindness. You know, one thing I'm doing at the moment, Ian, which is really helping the way I feel, is every evening I'm going through my contact list on my phone and I'm either sending a voice message or a text message to someone at random, just a really nice, kind message. It not only is that, am I hoping it's good for that other person who receives it, but we know that being kind and doing things for other people is good for ourselves. So if you don't want to do it for someone else, do it for selfish reasons. But if you can just apply that framework, 5 minutes on your mind, 5 minutes on your body, 5 minutes on your heart, I guarantee no matter how you're feeling now, it will start to improve things.
That's such a nice thing as well, and such an easy thing to be able to do, and just to get in touch with someone that you haven't spoken to for a while. I think it's one of those things that's just so easy, and we all can do it. You know, there's so many people we probably can get in touch with.
Yeah, and that's the point for me. As you know, Ian, my whole thing with health is to keep it simple. I think we have overcomplicated it. It can be that simple. The other really good tip in the heart section that I'd recommend to people, you know, if you live with someone else, a flatmate or a boyfriend, a girlfriend, your other half and a family, you know, it's very easy at the moment to not give your relationships the nurture and care that they deserve. So if I talk about my own family situation with my wife at home, my two kids at home, you know, it's very easy on the days that I'm at home to be, you know, busy. You're trying to work, you're trying to homeschool the kids. In the evenings, you know, when the kids are in bed, each one of you might be trying to catch up on stuff that you don't manage to do in the day. And it's very easy to not spend quality time with your other half or, you know, that significant other. And I have this tip in the book, I call it the tea ritual. And it's something that my wife and I try and do every day, but it's such a powerful tip. And it's just the way we do it is once the kids are in bed, we make a pot of mint tea for 5 minutes. The commitment we make is for 5 minutes, we put our phones away, shut our laptops, and we're just going to catch up and connect over how our day was. Now, we used to do that before lockdown. We've not done it every day in lockdown, but the days that we do manage to do it, everything feels better. You feel like you've got a partner. You feel like you've actually managed to catch up properly when you're not distracted by screens. And I know many patients have told me in the past that their 5-minute tea ritual has saved their marriages. So if this applies to anyone listening, please do just try and demarcate 5 minutes where you catch up with that significant other.
Great tips that everybody can use. One in four of us experiences a mental health problem, and we know that it can affect men in particular. Why do you think that that is?
Yeah, this is something I've explored on many occasions in the past, and I think that there's many reasons for that. You know, as I said before, humans are social beings. We've always been in communities and tribes, and there seems to be, with men, very different tendency than women. So women often will get together with their friends. They will, you know, they don't tend to need an excuse in the same way that men do. Men often need an excuse, like we used to be doing a sport or going to the pub in order to justify that we want to get together. And I think a lot of men have been quite afraid, quite insecure about sharing their feelings. It's not been deemed to be a masculine thing to do, to share how you feel. But we're really seeing now that being vulnerable, showing how you truly are feeling with someone who's going to listen without judgment is very, very powerful. And I think there's lots of men's groups that are growing and burgeoning around the country because there is this need for all of us, but particularly for men, to connect with other people. You know, I think on a societal level, I think that as pubs have been closing down across the country for a number of years, I sort of feel that, were pubs a place to go and drink, or were they really a place to go and connect? And my feeling is that actually it was more about the connection, really. And as pubs, churches for some people, as all these kind of places of congregation and real life connection start to close down, and of course now we're in lockdown where it's even harder, actually it's very hard for us to connect in those same ways. But Ian, I will say this, I think it's really important. I think 3 weeks ago, I spoke to Johan Hari on my podcast, and we were discussing loneliness. We were discussing some of the work of Professor John Capiocio, who's probably the world's leading loneliness researcher. He unfortunately passed away recently. But he has shown that loneliness is not actually about being physically present with someone else. Because you could think about it, you could be in Times Square, surrounded by tens of thousands of people, and still feel lonely because you don't know anyone. Sure. So what loneliness is, and what human connection really is about shared experiences. When you share an experience with someone else, you connect. And so we're in a very unique situation here where we're all sharing that experience of lockdown. So in many ways, although we can't get together, we've already got a leg up in many ways, and that we've got that shared experience. If we make the effort to phone someone each day, a friend, your mum, your dad, your sister, whoever it is, and just connect over that shared experience. Hey, what's it like for you? What's lockdown like for you? Oh, you know, I'm struggling with this. And they go, oh, you know, I was struggling with that, but this is my solution. You know what? You are really going to connect in a very powerful way. So although there is a problem here, I think there is a solution for many of us that may not be the same as getting together in person, but we've got to do the best that we can, don't we?
A problem shared is a problem halved, as the well-known saying goes.
Exactly.
Before you go, if people have enjoyed listening to what you've had to say and some of the tips that you've brought us, which are absolutely fantastic, I think, and so easy for people to get involved with and be able to do either in their own homes or when they're on their nightly walk or whatever it is that they're doing, where can they find out more info from Dr. Rangan Chatterjee? Where are you on the various platforms, podcasts, books and so on?
Yeah, well, I'm available everywhere on the internet, really. I'd say if you enjoy this form of conversation, so podcasts, I have a weekly podcast called Feel Better, Live More. As I said, I've got three books out. The last one, Feel Better in 5, is literally are based around the things I was just talking about now, is these five-minute health interventions. I think there's about 50 five-minute health interventions that are all free to do. They're all available in that book. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, if anyone liked what they heard, want to ask me any further questions, do try and pop onto any of those platforms and ask away. And hopefully I can get to your message.
Well, you certainly accompanied me on my walk the other day.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks so much, Ian. I guess for people who are struggling with lockdown, I would really, really encourage you to listen to episode 107 on my podcast, where I spoke to this incredible guy called John McAvoy. He's got an incredible story, but basically he was a prisoner. I mean, at the age of 24, he had two life sentences, and he's completely transformed his life through movement. He's a free man now. He now tries to inspire prisoners and school kids on how to live an authentic and a productive life rather than ending up in jail. But I spoke to him specifically about how he dealt with solitary confinement for 5 years. And I think what he shares, how he got through that, because we're all in a level of solitary confinement relative to the lives that we led a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
And whether it's John McAvoy, whether it's Nelson Mandela, whether it's Terry Waite, who was a hostage negotiator who was captured, they will tell you a few common themes. One of them is that routine is essential, right? Routine is what kept those guys sane in solitary confinement. So I think routine is essential for all of us, but he's a really engaging speaker. So if I could direct people somewhere, I would say listen to episode 107, because I think at the end of it, you're going to have a new outlook on lockdown and what you can do.
Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. It really, really was a pleasure. Thanks.
Great to speak with Dr. Rangan Chatterjee there, and I hope you found it useful too. Our Kind to Your Mind series is in conjunction with your local councils and the NHS in Cheshire and Merseyside. We always love hearing from you, so please leave us a comment and don't forget to hit subscribe and rate the podcast. For more information, visit kindtoyourmind.org, where you'll find lots of information and resources, including top tips from the Every Mind Matters campaign and ALMA, an online wellbeing portal for those living and working in Cheshire and Merseyside. That's it for episode 2. See you next time on Kind to Your Mind. Goodbye.